Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Hey, oh, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton and Root Josh.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how y'all doing?
I'm doing all right. How are y'all?
Oh, you know, just hanging in there. Just enjoying these fake sports, all the exhibition matches going on, you know.
Oh, Josh is in full retreat mode now. That
very excited, super excited.
Now that we're all saying
exhibition
bye, Soroka.
Lots of exhibition games.
Too soon. Sorry.
Very too soon to make a mockery.
Very insensitive. Very insensitive.
Wow. Wow. He could be dead for all you know, Ken.
He could
be missing. Like, you ain't a suspidus.
Yeah, anus is missing.
Oh, he went to the mall yesterday, by the way. Somebody leaked a picture on Instagram.
I saw that, yeah. Somebody on Twitter said, Yoenis Cespedes did not opt out from COVID. He opted out from the mess.
No, he
didn't even know COVID existed.
He opted out once he saw it wasn't in the starting lineup is what he did. Yeah. And he was like, I'm out. Because apparently he's got a bunch of incentives in his contract, and they're trying to hold him off of those.
Yeah.
Because they're the Mets, and they're going to be cheap regardless. And so he said, screw it. I'm gone.
You know what's hilarious about the situation is Brody Van Wagenen, the Mets GM, is actually Yoenis Cespedes. He was his agent when Cespedes signed the big deal.
You would think they would know each other and get along very well, but Brody is so bad at his job.
Isn't every person named Brody terrible at their job? Let's be honest.
I've never known a Brody.
No. Chief Brody was a pretty good police chief in Amity Island in Jaws.
Yeah, that's true. But okay. I don't know, man. That was, what, five Jaws? Like, you're not too good after a certain point.
There was four, and he was gone after two. So,
just saying.
Don't blame him for 3 and 4.
At least he was smart enough to leave, right? But
his character was killed off, you know.
I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast at this point, you know Mike Soroka. We don't know the full extent of the details at this point. We are recording about 40 minutes after Soroka was injured, but our best guess is it looked like a popped Achilles tendon. Who knows? It could be it's just a bad strain or something. But it certainly didn't look good anyway. If it is an Achilles tendon, that's a 9 to 12 month recovery plus getting back in baseball shape and everything else.
It's not great, Bob.
That's not great, Bob. That's
considering it's August, and next season should start in like March.
Yeah. So Soroka would be he'd be off the shelf for quite he'd be on the shelf for quite a while. Josh, are you just at the I hate everything stage now and going back to your full, because you were kind of excited about baseball a little bit last week. Are you pretty much back in everything's terrible, the world's a horrible place?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, I've been watching the games, okay? All right? Mm-hmm. I know I said I wasn't going to. I have been, and I've been enjoying it. And watching them with Nikki's been fun. Nikki's like all in it, and she loves Matt Adams, which is weird. So, I mean, I've genuinely been enjoying it. It has been, I do miss the fans, you know, so it's never going to be normal without the fans, but I've been watching it. But it seems like, and maybe this is an oversimplification, okay, but it seems like every day is breaking news, 12 players from this organization, or just 12 employees have tested positive for COVID, right? It's every day. And then 3 hours after that initial breaking news, 12 employees test positive, it's always like, of those 12, 11 are asymptomatic and two have a cough.
I know.
I've been talking about COVID, or we have for, you know, every podcast, I guess, since March and stuff. But it's the backdrop of our world right now. I'm just done with it. I think it's stupid. It's so dumb. I hate everything. And I think that they're going to cancel baseball season by like September because a bunch of 27-year-olds are asymptomatic and we can't read basic data and people have lost their minds.
The only reason they haven't canceled it yet is because it hasn't hit the Dodgers or the Yankees. If it hits the Dodgers or the Yankees,
That's a good point. I think about that, yeah.
That's the only thing holding them off. Like, nobody cares about the Marlins. Nobody was watching them anyway.
But look what it –
The Cardinals are a little more threat.
Yeah, look at – you know. I mean, that's a good point. But so the Marlins, if there's like a totem pole – of teams that matter the most to teams that don't matter at all, the Marlins are, would you say, like at the bottom or like almost the bottom?
Marlins and Orioles are way down there. Yeah.
But look what that did to just the baseball sports media for like 4 days. You know, so to your point, if it did that, if the Marlins had that effect on these idiots, then yeah. I mean, to your point, if the Yankees or the Dodgers or even the Mets or the Phillies or something have, you know, 9 players test positive, because that's what's happening. It's not even just baseball. It's like I live in, you know, Boone, and I make fun of Boone because Boone is stupid now. But like one employee last week at Booneshine Brewery tests positive. One part-time employee. She's asymptomatic. They closed down the entire brewery indefinitely until further notice. And that's just like, that's everybody. It's like you people have lost your minds. This thing has taken way more brains than lives. It started off with, we need to flatten the curve, right? And now it's like, nobody can get it, which is literally not possible. It's not possible. It's affected our world, man.
The estimates came out that, and I've seen this from multiple people, that are respectable doctors now, and I'm not talking about the crazy early estimates that were ridiculous, but there's very reasonable estimates now that say, you know, there's a good chance that 450,000 people could die from it. That's still less than just barely, if it's not even 1%, okay? It's not even 0.1%, really. It'd be just over 0.1% of the American population if that happened. You know, that sounds like a scary, terrible number, but it's mainly because us Americans don't do math and we don't know the numbers on everything else and everyone else that gets sick. And then the other part of it is, like, we have this idea that somehow mask and all this other stuff and social distancing was magically going to stop it from going around. And I'm not saying that those things can't slow the spread.
I know actual people. I know college professors, not naming names, but at Berry College, who are literally taking selfies of themselves wearing goggles, you guys, because Fauci said that goggles could, you know, help prevent this.
Fauci is the same guy that said that, you know, protesting shouldn't affect anything, and that if you want to have sex with a random person on Tinder, that's your personal choice.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. But by the way, don't ever handshake again and wear goggles in public.
Did you guys ever see...
Dr. Fauci is a confirmed jabroni, by the way. Confirmed jabroni.
Did y'all ever see Naked Gun 33 and a third, I think it was?
Hell yeah, I've seen them all.
You know when they're having sex and they got the full body condoms on?
Full
I mean, that's basically what Fauci wants us to wear at this point. It's like full body condoms.
That was Naked Gun. That was Naked Gun number one.
Was it number one? Okay. And then you've got the other option is like to be Bubble Boy. And so we all become Bubble Boy.
The Boops.
Bubble Boy.
The Boops.
The Boops. They're not Boops.
I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Josh, not the Seinfeld connoisseur that me and
that's
JP
a deep
are.
Cut Seinfeld reference.
Okay.
There,
okay.
The Moops. When George beats up the boy in the bubble.
Moops is not a word. Moops is not a word.
The Moops. Like, he beats him up.
Like
over,
yo, we're joking about it, but what is it? So this podcast will come out on the 4th. August 4th.
Yep.
Okay. I predict, Nakahoma Nation, I predict that by September 1st, whatever town you live in, we got a lot of folks listening everywhere, okay? Whatever town you live in, your city council by September 1st is going to institute some kind of goggles mandate. And goggle shaming.
My county,
goggles
I don't
shaming.
Think my county will, Josh. I'm just saying.
Yeah, probably that's true. Goggles.
It'll be a cold day.
Goggles shaming
cold day
is
in hell before you catch me at
right around the corner.
Goggles on.
It's gonna not happen. Dude.
You realize, JT? You it's realize good. What they're slowly doing? They're slowly proving that Adam Sandler and Scuba Steve were the epitome of how to live Ooh. Life all along.
Hey, I'm Scuba Sam, Scuba Steve's father.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not wearing goggles anywhere. Stop it. This is insane. What do you do? The next thing you know, you're going to have to wear condoms full time because the coronavirus can climb up through your pee hole and infect you that way. This is crazy.
All I know is
from a man who didn't wear his own
Horace
mask
Grant
at the
is
Nationals
at,
game.
Horace Grant is looking at you right now, JT, and he's just like, straight up bitches. Straight
Somewhere
up bitches.
Chris,
that's what
Chris,
Horace Grant
Chris
says.
Sabo, Chris Sabo is like, I was on it before you guys, man.
Yep.
I had the goggles.
That's it. But hey, assuming COVID does not kill this season, which God,
oh, it
is.
It's going
did.
To. It's totally
at,
going
at
to.
This, at this point, I welcome it.
Yeah, but it would really suck for Soroka to get such a bad injury for 15 games or 20 games. You know, it's rough. Why didn't they just cancel the season to begin with? You know, I mean, it's like, I am. Okay, so a couple things. This is like the weirdest, most torn season ever because there is a part of me that's really enjoying every game because it does feel like every game is a little more important. But there's also like it doesn't have the intensity because you got canned music in the background with fake posters up and blooper pretending to matter in the background.
Yeah, and 37-year-olds getting really triggered if somebody makes fun of blooper on Twitter.
So. Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I don't get that part.
Yeah.
Just saying. But anyway,
what you're talking about.
Let's talk about the starting rotation without Mike Soroka. Obviously, Max Fried steps into the number one role. After that, big old giant question marks, right? I mean, like, that's pretty much where we're at this point, is we have one starter. And after that, we got a bunch of talent that may or may not be able to start.
Dude,
pretty much.
I don't even know. I don't even know half these guys. Like the guy that came in tonight to replace Soroka. I don't even know who that
guy
is. Never heard of that guy.
Chris Rusin, they called him up when they DFA'd Chaucine. So he's only been up for one.
Didn't even know they DFA'd Chaucine.
Yeah, that happened yesterday. So
Chris Rusin seems like a decent enough.
Chris
guy.
Russo.
Rusin.
Rusin.
R U S I N. I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
Seems like a nice fellow. I'm sure his parents love him. They're very proud. So we got Max Fried, who is now basically our number one starter. And I'm hoping, to clarify, I'm hoping all this is null and void because it was just a weird cramp in Mike Soroka's leg and he's totally healthy. But I doubt that. So you got Max Fried, number one. And that moves up Sean Newcomb, who cannot throw strikes, number two. You've got Kyle Wright, who cannot get out of three innings at your third starter. You've got Tuki Toussaint, who is just converted from a long reliever / AAA starter to whatever he was. Now he's our fourth starter. And then your fifth starter is now Josh Tomlin, or maybe they bring up Tucker Davidson or Ian Anderson.
Could
or
also be
like
that. Tyler Matzik. No. I've heard some people talking about maybe stretching him out. He used to be a starter. He had the yips. He's pitched great out of the bullpen, been fantastic so far this year. So I wouldn't mind seeing him get a start possibly. It might be interesting.
What if Felix Hernandez wants to opt back in?
Yeah.
Can he be ready in 5 days?
That'd be nice. I don't see it happening. But, you know, what I do see is I think they work with Folty, try to get him back eventually. But there's a part of me like if
what?
This is going to be
– What? We just DFA'd him 5 days ago, and now we're gonna be like, "Hey, let's."
No, I didn't mean
in.
This week. I just mean like I think.
No, but I mean like that's such a like, you know, I mean like that's
well,
not.
That's
a
what they did last
fix.
Year.
Like,
that's what they did last year. So.
Yeah, but, okay, what are you gonna put 30 pounds on him in like 2 weeks?
I mean, yeah,
I mean, he's gotten progressively worse over like. Yeah.
So where I'm at is if it's an exhibition season, I actually think that the Braves, it's not good Soroka going down. Let me be very clear about that. But in some ways, I could see this being good. And here's the reason. First of all, nobody's trading for anything in a 60-game season that may end next week. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not giving up any assets for a starting pitcher at this point. Like, I'm sorry, all you people out there that want AA to trade for a starting pitcher, unless it's just dog crap that somebody was already getting rid of, I don't see it happening, okay? Because it's a 60-game season, and yes, there might be a trophy at the end, but they also might shut it down next week and us play no more, so why would you give up assets for such a great risk? It would make no sense.
What if there's control beyond the season, though? I mean,
No. Like, maybe so. But what team would do that? What team would give up someone with good control for assets now?
That also have good control. But
yeah, nobody's trading anybody worth a damn right now.
Under good control.
No, nobody's trading anybody
yeah,
right
it
now.
It ain't happening.
To Ken's point,
everybody's just gonna sit on what they have and prep for the future.
This season doesn't matter. Everybody knows that. I mean, it matters to us in a way because we need sports and all that. Like, in that way, it matters. We care about it. Okay, like, we've been watching the games, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you say that now after Soroka tore his Achilles, but, you know, yesterday it mattered.
It didn't matter that much.
Braves are probably the hottest team in the National League.
Yeah, for a 60-game season, well, yeah, they're 7-3 or whatever. Big deal. In August? 7-3 in August. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, but if the Braves are making the playoffs this year and the Braves are contending,
playoffs don't matter. Not this year.
Yeah, I mean, so where it comes down to is, would it matter? Yes. It would be cool to win. Like, it would. That being said, whoever wins the World Series, even if it's the Braves, if they come back, we will celebrate it. If the Braves were to win the World Series, we would celebrate it, no doubt. But it will always be a season that has an asterisk on it because it had runners starting on second base in extra innings. It had doubleheaders that were only 7 games long, and it was only played for 60 games.
I get that.
Like,
in the grand scheme of baseball,
right?
Yes,
it will
you're right.
It will
this
be a lesser.
Be
it will be a much right. lesser award to have won this season, right? That being said, you'd still like to win if it's there. I mean, like, that's part of competition and that's part of the sport. That being said, you also probably aren't going to give up anything to try to win something that's lesser than, at least not anything significant. I mean, you're not trading Christian Pache for anything, for any kind of starting pitcher that's going to replace Mike Soroka. So because of that, this goes back to what I was saying. This could be a good thing for the Braves in this regard. Not necessarily about winning this year, but the Braves have Patrick Weigel. They have Tuki Toussaint. They have Kyle Wright. They have Sean Newcomb. They have Tucker Davidson. They have Ian Anderson. They have Oscar Yanoa. They have all these young guys that can pitch, and I'm sure I left some out there.
They can throw, but can they pitch?
And that's the question, Josh. Like, that's the question that – Do you know Kyle Wright? Like, a lot of people are, like, busted on Kyle Wright. He's only pitched, like, 30 innings in pro ball. Like, total. You know, like, total, that's all he's pitched. Like, he needs to be on the mound throwing every 7 days to a batter, you know, and learning to pitch at the pro level. Because I watched Kyle Wright the other night, and I said, holy crap, that dude is good. And then he would lose it for a minute, and he would walk
again. But that's the problem.
And, right.
That's the problem with Kyle Wright, and what he's up against is the fact that the first time Mike Soroka took the mound, his first start, afterwards you went, oh, this kid's good.
I did that and with Kyle Wright, too.
Remember, he did the two starts 2 years ago when he had the sore shoulder?
Yeah.
And both starts, he was like, oh, okay, I can see this.
You can see it, but JT,
and then he came in last year
is what he gave up in those. Do you remember?
No, I don't. It wasn't much.
Oh, yeah. Mike Soroka gave up like 6 runs in 2 of those starts. Everybody just watched him and said, holy crap, the kid can pitch. And then he like blew up because he was a young kid learning to actually play the game. That's the way it worked. You know, like his first year, he went 2-1 and had a 3.51 ERA. Well, I mean, like 3.51 doesn't sound that bad, but his whip was like 1.44. That's not good. That's like Tuki Toussaint level right now and what we've seen from him. So, we get a little bit of beer goggles on when we look back because we know how good Soroka has been now that he's had the chance to consistently start. And I'm not saying any of these guys are going to be Soroka. I'm saying we don't know what they're going to be. And this is a great season to put guys out there and see what they're going to be. Put Tucker Davidson out there, see if he's ready. He may not be. He may need to go back down and learn. Tuki Toussaint needs to pitch. That's what he needs to do.
Gosh.
Josh, you hate Tuki Toussaint, but Tuki Toussaint, his last start looked better than any other pitcher the Braves have had.
I don't hate Tuki Toussaint. I don't hate anybody, okay? But we know who's going to be awesome and who's not going to be awesome because you guys follow me on Twitter. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. Anyway. Tuki's not going to be very good, guys. He's just not.
He was great his last start. Just saying.
Okay, cool.
Great.
Right. Cool. I think Chuck James had a couple of really good starts, too.
I mean, Tuki Toussaint went, what, 5.5 with no runs allowed? I mean,
he went four guys.
For his first start of the year getting stretched back out, I didn't think it was – I mean, I thought it was pretty fantastic. Just
fantastic. Four innings. Four fantastic. Higher your standards, Ken Hendricks. Okay. You're better than this. You are better than this. You will not succumb to this postmodern socialist point of view when it comes to our beloved game. Raise your standards, my friend. Okay. When a guy gets out there and throws four innings, okay, do not come to me and be like, let me tell you something. Best pitcher on the Braves right there. No. We are better than this.
I didn't say he was the best pitcher on the Braves. I said he was the best pitcher beyond Fried and Soroka.
Okay, whatever.
And he went four innings.
He did. He did. Because he's been in the bullpen before that, guys. He hasn't even stretched out. Like
exactly. Our best pitcher beyond Soroka and Fried has been in the bullpen
because they had a five-man rotation.
Like, that tells you the desperation of what...
There's no triple A. There's no place
that tells you what we're up against. The best pitcher outside of Soroka and Fried has been there as a reliever.
Okay. All right.
That's exactly the situation that we're dealing with, is the best pitcher outside of those two.
Yep.
One with a torn Achilles and Max Fried is a
That does
pitcher.
Not inherently make them a bad pitcher, though, JT. It makes them a prospect. It makes them a prospect that was developing. It doesn't make them bad pitcher.
Let me just...
Mike Soroka was a prospect that developed. Was he ever a reliever? Was Max Fried ever a reliever?
Thank you. There are pitchers.
Chris Sale was.
There are pitchers.
Chris Sale was.
And there's Belliatures.
Good for Chris Sale. He's 130 pounds. Chris Sale's garbage.
You're giving examples. I'm just filling in the blanks. Jeez.
See, if you're that good of a pitcher, they're not going to be like, oh, he's a reliever. He's excellent. He's the next Nolan Ryan. He's a middle reliever. No. If you're that good, you're going to be starting.
Okay, that brings us to this week's trivia question. Are you guys ready?
Sure.
Because I want JT to answer this trivia question, and then I want him to say what he just said again. All right.
Okay. All right.
So here we go. Name that Brave. Let's see if we can stump the chumps.
All right. Okay.
This
guy was a reliever and then become a great starter. Okay, we already get the gist of
this. This member of the 1995. Atlanta Braves was a three-time All-Star and won an ERA title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Steve Avery.
It's not. Incorrect. Josh, your turn.
Was he a middle reliever?
Possibly.
You can't give us possibly. You can't give us shut the front door, Ken Hendricks, okay?
I told you it was the 1995 Atlanta Braves, Josh. It's the World Series winning team. How much more clue do you need?
Possibly it was a middle reliever.
It was John Smoltz.
Incorrect. It was not John Smoltz. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So he might have been a middle reliever.
He was possibly a middle reliever.
I'm actually trying to look and see if he was or not. Like, I seriously don't know right off. No, he was not. He was not. He was not fully a middle reliever.
So was he a long reliever? Was he the closer? Was he a starter?
He started several games, and then probably was used in the bullpen some.
Was it Kent Merker?
Incorrect.
Hmm. That was my next guest.
Would you like a clue, fellas? Would you like an additional clue?
Sure.
Yes.
All right. This young fella would put up a career WAR of 29.5 with a 3.96 ERA.
That doesn't help us. Like, okay.
And he would finish second in the Cy Young and fourth in the Cy Young at two different points in his career.
Oh, wow. Well, it's not like Glavin or Maddux, obviously.
Well, no. They pitched and won like 20 games or something. Yeah. Yeah, I would know if they were a middle reliever. I'm just telling you. Like, I'm not quite that stupid.
I mean, okay. was it Brad Klontz?
It was not Brad Klontz.
No.
I don't think Brad Klontz ever got anywhere near being worth like 29
war.
29 war.
Well, he was never a starter, was he?
I don't think so.
I wonder why.
I wonder why
he was never a starter, though.
That's a good question.
Maybe he wasn't that good, Josh.
Oh, really? Huh. Interesting.
Would you?
Okay, so 95.
Yep, 95. He's obviously a pitcher because we've talked about that at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
In 1995, was he a starter at that time?
He started games in 1995.
He started games.
That's what I just said.
I feel like we're in court. I feel like we're in court here. And hey, Ken,
I'm being deposed.
Right. I'm answering your questions. He started games. Like was he one of the
you're
five
giving us
main
answers
guys
like,
that started?
You're giving
like,
us answers like
him.
Possibly.
Like, none of them would be.
We ask you a question. You're like, possibly. And then you give us weird. You just answer them weirdly. And you know what you're doing. You know you know exactly what you're doing. You get under our skin.
Yeah, I'm not giving away the answer.
You know what you're doing.
If you just knew the answer, you wouldn't have
Steve Bedrosian.
It is not Steve Bedrosian.
He wasn't on the 95.
God, I can't believe you guys wouldn't know somebody that was just a
he was in there.
That was a simple middle reliever. I can't believe you guys wouldn't know this.
I thought you said he was a starter.
He did start some. He was also a reliever some.
It's not Marvin Freeman, is he? Not Marvin didn't play for the.
It's not. It's not Marvin Freeman. No. Would you like another clue?
Yeah, I guess so.
Sure.
This young fellow would go on to have a 14-year career where he pitched for these teams, the Atlanta Braves, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the San Francisco Giants, and the LA Dodgers.
Wow. Is it Greg McMichael?
Incorrect.
Pirates, Dodgers.
Are you guys ready to give up? I mean, you're not going to guess this because you just don't know that you're not real Braves fans. I mean, you don't know your 95 Atlanta Braves. I can't believe you don't know the answer to this already.
What are you drinking, asshole?
Water.
Okay.
Thought you weren't going to cuss as much, Josh.
That was warranted, okay? That was warranted.
I know who it is.
Josh?
I'll just let JT answer because I have no idea.
It's a trick question because no one remembers him in the Braves.
Fire away then, JT.
Jason Schmidt.
Yes, it is Jason Schmidt. How did you remember that? Did you look it up or did you?
No, because I remember him being with the Braves.
Yeah.
But when you said Giants.
Yeah, I totally forgot he was with
the
Braves.
That's where he was good,
You said Pittsburgh and the Giants, and those were the two teams he was really, really good with. And a lot of people listening right now probably don't remember Jason Schmidt, but
he was a good pitcher.
There was a 4 or 5 year window where he was really, really good. Yep. Yeah, Jason Schmidt was really good.
From 2001 really through like 2006, he was a 3.5 ERA guy. Like, he was solid. Yeah. And before that,
especially,
he was kind of average, but yeah.
Was it Pittsburgh before? For San Francisco?
Yeah. It went Atlanta, then Pittsburgh, then San Francisco Giants, and then right at the end of his career, he pitched a little bit for the Dodgers.
Yeah, he was a really good start with Pittsburgh.
He never
pitched well.
He wasn't very good. He was only average for Pittsburgh. He was really good for the Giants is where he had his really good years.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like a former Brave, but he never was even a thought for the Braves.
Yeah, middle reliever it was funny you brought that up because he kind of did fill that role. He started, I think it said he started two games, and then he had pitched something like 29 innings or something like that. So wasn't like a big role he had. He wasn't on the playoff roster, I don't believe. But my guess is he came up with the Braves because that's his first team. So I guess he was in the minors with the Braves and came up. But developed, started in the bullpen, and then moved to that role.
So basically, you think Tuki Doucet is going to be Jason Schmidt?
That's what he's implying. That's what he's implying.
If he did, that wouldn't be a homer.
You're such a homer.
I wouldn't complain.
Such a homer.
I wouldn't complain, except for the fact that you would hold it against us all the time.
It's true.
If you said you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?
Like, 20 years from now, be hanging out. You'd be like, remember that time I told you that Tuki Doucet was going to be amazing? And we won the World Series in the COVID year?
Because this is Ken Hendricks. Tukey's gonna be like mediocre, but he's gonna have like one moment in like 8 years. He's gonna be on like the Royals, and he's gonna come in for like middle relief and like strike out. You know, I don't know. He's gonna have like one amazing moment, and Ken Hendricks will be like, I told you guys, he's really good.
Is that what I do? Is that what I sound like? Do I do that? I may do that. I don't think I do that, but maybe I do.
That's what you're gonna do.
Anyway. So, Josh, we were talking a little bit about COVID, but let's, barring the bigger picture, let's talk a little bit about the teams that have been that have gotten it. The Marlins, first of all, it was reported that they'd gone to a strip club in Atlanta, but that's now been redacted, and they said they just got it, like not staying in their room and being a 20-year-old, basically. But they didn't go to any clubs or anything like that. But the Cardinals, meanwhile, several of their players went to a casino. Now, look.
I am mortified.
Josh, you know that we are not the biggest Corona bros on here. Like, we're not out here fearful. But it does seem like if you're already having daily testing, you're being encouraged that this season may not happen if a lot of players get it, that somewhere along the way, maybe you think through your mind, you know, going to a place where everyone touches all the same stuff and sits in each other's space might not be the smartest thing for me to do. Like, it just seems like that would maybe just a little bit make sense. Am I crazy for that?
I mean, probably not, but I don't know. I just... If I'm them, I'm going live on Periscope. I'm telling everybody to kiss my ass. I'm a baseball player. I'll go to their damn casino if I want to. And chances of me dying from this thing is about 1 in 8 billion. Kiss my ass.
It's not quite that high, Josh, because like there's 8 billion people on the planet, and there's like 450,000 people have already died from it. So your chances would be like 450,000 in 8 billion.
Okay, whatever. Whatever. So I would go live on Periscope.
I'm just saying, like,
and be like, this casino is cleaner than your Walmart, bitches. That's what I would say.
That's actually, it might be true. But if you've ever been in a casino, you know they're not, like, while they're very well taken care of, I would not think of them as a very germ-free place.
I mean, it does depend. If it was a casino in, like, Vegas, probably, even before COVID, pretty clean. But if you're telling me...
It's a St. Louis casino,
that's
probably,
what I'm going
Josh.
For. That's what I'm going. If you're talking about like St. Louis and they ventured over to like Oklahoma, we're talking about some like, you know, low income, like Cherokee reservation casinos. That gets sketchy. That gets really dirty, smoky, lots of smoke.
I wonder if Ryan Elsley took them on a homecoming trip and went to the reservation and they all went to the casino together.
Yeah, I reached out to him on Twitter about that. He hasn't answered me yet. Yeah. If it comes out that Ryan, where did Ken
for
go?
Those who may not know, uh-oh.
Ken just dropped off the call, everyone. Well.
Interesting.
He went to go. Oh, no,
yeah, I like that Tampa Bay Lightning shirt, by the way. That's
yeah, you like that? Polo, slick. Mom got this for me for our birthday.
I dig that.
All right.
Won the shootout today against the Capitals. So got the hat. You got the new polo.
I dig it.
Yeah. So that was a birthday gift from my mom. So I like it. It's one of those like dry
fit. Any dry fit polo, I'm in. I'm in.
Oh yeah. Can you imagine like wearing a cotton polo now?
People
nowadays?
Wear those?
Like,
people wear cotton polos?
I've got a few left over from the like Stone Age, like back in like the mid 2000s when a polo was just made of cotton. But now, like, oh man, these things? I could play golf in this bad boy. Look at this. I could flex, I could move.
It's hot. I like it.
It's the way to go.
But back to Ryan Hesley, like if it comes out that Ryan Hesley took these bronies or jabronies to Harrah's Cherokee Casino, y'all, I am going to be insufferable on Twitter.com.
I imagine so. How's that different from usual, though, Josh, to be honest? I mean,
I know. I'm getting better, though. Like, I've had a lot of opportunities to troll and dunk this past couple weeks, and I haven't done it. So I'm getting better.
You know, speaking of podcast people that are more mature, shout out to Atlanta Baseball Talk. They've announced this is going to be their last season podcasting. And so shout out to those guys for, 10 years, I think, of podcasting Braves? That's awesome, man. That's incredible. I couldn't, like if we go 10 years without JT killing me or Josh or someone else killing Josh, like having a moment, you know, that would be miraculous, you know? That'd be awesome.
At least 10 years, because I remember listening to them in the 2010 season was the first time I got turned on to them. And I remember thinking, wow, really cool. There's a podcast about the Braves. Like, the podcasts were new in 2010.
Now there's 30 podcasts about the Braves. Now, so
this week, there's 30 new ones. And I remember thinking, like, wow, this is really awesome. Like, once a week, I get guys that talk my language and talk about the Braves. This is really cool. And I was with my girlfriend at the time, and I remember listening on the way up. We were going to Gatlinburg, and we went out, and that night, Tommy Hansen pitched against the Giants in the playoffs, and that was a game of Rick Ankiel. Real Braves fans remember Rick Ankiel. And he put the homer in extra innings into McCovey Cove. And that's how far I go back with Atlanta Baseball Talk, man. They've been awesome for the longest time. And I was like, I always thought it was cool. I was like, maybe one day, man, I'd love to have a Braves podcast where I get on, people listen to me talk about the Braves, and I'm like, that's a dumb idea. That'll never happen. And here we are.
Yeah. Well, we'll try to get them on the show maybe before they hang up their headphones at the end of the season. So
I met them at a Chop Fest a couple of years ago. Yeah, super nice guys. They were like, hey, are you the Knock Elimination guy? And I was like, guys, I'm just a normal guy. But yeah, I'll get my picture with you guys if you want to, so whatever. But they were super nice, not weird or anything, super nice. They're like the only podcast, or really the only like Braves Twitter account that has consistently stayed away from any drama. They never get into drama. They're just on to talk about the Braves. So,
I mean, we're the same way. We're never in any drama.
Never.
Like, we're just
never in any drama.
Never any drama. Everything's always chill. Yeah,
everything's
relaxed.
Chill. We don't call out people for like.
Everybody loves us.
We don't call out people for mass shaming and then going to a bar 5 days later.
We're definitely not blocked by Doc or Eric Cole. Or
Doc would never block us. Doc's a really nice guy. He'd never block us on Twitter. That'd be weird.
We're in a national pandemic. What would a doctor block?
Right.
Anybody?
Yeah. Right.
That's not even part of the Hippocratic Oath.
Maybe he's just got a face mask on. Maybe that's why I can't see his tweets. He's wearing a face mask.
So. I heard that that happens. If they wear a face mask, you can't see their tweets. That's probably what's happening with Doc.
Maybe that's all this.
He wouldn't block us.
But yeah, shout out to Atlanta Baseball Talk. Congrats to those guys on.
Yeah, they are the seriously. I mean, I think we're pretty good Braves podcast, and I think any Braves podcast worth their salt will tell you the OGs of Braves podcasting is Atlanta Baseball Talk, for real.
They talk baseball. They know how to talk baseball. Yep. Yeah. We only sort of talk baseball.
They were really big on the Bryce Harper train, though, because I was tuning in a couple of off seasons ago, and they were like, I mean, I almost had to say some stuff, but I didn't. I didn't because those guys are nice guys, but they were really high on the Bryce Harper stuff, you know. So
yeah.
They don't understand it. Like, we understand the advanced metrics of being a fake Mormon.
Oh, is that one?
And it's hard. It's just hard to.
Gotcha.
It's hard to understand those things if you don't understand advanced theology and metrics stuff like that.
I get you. So, changing gears. fellas, bad news. Scott Steiner Shoney's had to close.
Oh, no, what?
Because of COVID, they said they are permanently closing Scott Steiner's Shoney.
No, not the Shoney's in Ackworth.
In Ackworth, yeah. Yeah. I don't know where Josh will meet people to fight him anymore.
Oh, my gosh. Wait.
Kennesaw
Mountain. The Shoney's that I always meet people to fight at is the Cartersville Shoney's.
Okay, that's a different one, I think.
Yeah, a couple exits north of the Ackworth one.
Let me tell you this. And Josh, you can set this out because you don't care, but for any of my true blue wrestling fans that understand, the early 1990s, Scott Steiner was the first guy to, like, blow your minds with athleticism in the ring. Like, he would do the Frankensteiner off the ropes, and that was amazing, and he was one of the few, like, dude, Big Papa Pump. Like, are you kidding me? Like, he would come out and flex. And
see, I was a Scott and Rick Steiner fan way back in the day. I loved Rick Steiner.
Yeah. Oh, I love the dog face Rick Steiner. Love the Steiner brothers.
Yeah.
Steiner brothers were the first, one of the first wrestlers I ever met was the Steiner brothers. When I was a kid, I was 6 years old. My mom took me to an autograph signing, and I got to meet the Steiner.
It was always weird to me when Scott became a heel with WCW, because, like, the Steiner brothers were never heels. They were always good guys. Like, like, they were the good guys.
Ken,
Josh is falling asleep.
Ken, did you just tweet the Mike Sabroka tweet? Was that you?
Nope, wasn't me. Nope.
All right.
I've been podcasting.
Must have been Boggy. All right,
Boggy's been tweeting. Okay. All right.
Mike's so... Oh, that's so... Boggy, come on.
Bye, Soroka. Oh, man. So, fellas, how long do you think, if we do end up with a full 60-game season, how long do you think before players start opting out because they're on crappy teams? Because that's kind of what Jonas says did a little bit.
I would say Saturday.
I agree with you. I agree. Everybody's so, like, there's so many Corona bros that, like, if you say it on Twitter, you'll get destroyed. But I think that's why he opted out.
Oh, it's 100% why he opted out.
No.
I mean, now
he opted
out. So some of it's money for sure, but he's also
money.
On a crappy
it's
team.
Money.
Yeah,
he's also on a crappy team.
Which kind of go ahead
and
hand.
Money, and he was being he was being held out of the lineup on Sunday, and what I've heard is once he saw he was out of the lineup, that's when he packed his bags, because he has a lot of incentives laden in his contract there. So what he thought was the Mets were intentionally holding him out of the lineup so he wouldn't hit these incentives during the shortened season, and that's when he was like, oh, screw this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm packing my bags and gone.
You know, Jonas Cespedes has never been a drama queen, ever. Never had any controversy follow him around. I'm just saying.
Jonas Cespedes, more like Jonas left the Mets. What? Am I right? What?
Sorry, JT. That was as bad as Boggy's tweet.
I know.
So seriously, though, I wonder how long before players do. Like, you're on the Pirates. Serious question. You're on the Pirates, and a week from now, they have to play. I believe I saw where they were playing. Like, let's see, they're in the Central. So who was it they were playing? I think they were having to play the Twins, and it was some other good team. I don't remember who the other good team was. At the end of the week, though, there's a good chance that they could be like 3-11. Like, very possible. At that point, if you're on that team, do you go to management and you say, look, either trade me or I opt out?
Hmm.
I mean, because why would you risk playing a season in COVID, like, if you want to even use that logic, on a crappy losing team that you know is not going to make the playoffs at all?
Not only not going to make the playoffs,
for very
but,
limited money.
But you, I think there's a lot of people, all joking aside, who really think this season's a wash and it doesn't really matter, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, yeah. I think you're going to see it, yeah. And I think it's going to be players like you. I don't think it's going to be your, you know, like Johan Camargos. It's going to be your, like, Joey Votto's, those kind of guys. That's a bad example because the Reds are kind of good. But
yeah, I don't think I'd see Votto do it, but I could see.
Yeah,
I could see.
You know, as an example.
I think you'll see a lot of, like, a lot of.
Like Evan Longoria. Evan Longoria, you know.
I could see that.
McCutcheon.
I think, yeah, you could. I think the other kind of player that you'll see do that, though, would be...
They play three games. Yeah. Screw you guys, you suck.
I think the player that you could see opt out would be, like, okay, so say the Braves went on, like, a terrible tear here and lost, like, 20 games. And we were talking about Braves players opting out, right?
Right.
I think the players you would see opting out would be people like Tucker Davidson and like future stars like Ian Anderson and people like that. They're saying, look, I'm not going to pitch in a lost season and risk blowing my Achilles out and ruining my future. You know, I don't think you'd see like Christian Pache, you know. I think Freddie has too much, like, I think when you get to the level of Freddie, there's a lot of clout and PR stuff that's involved. But, like, young players with a future, they don't really have that PR yet, not to the same level. And I could see those kinds of guys really saying, yeah, I'm out. Peace. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think you'd see, I don't know, Miguel Cabrera.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy I could possibly see. A guy who's established, has more money than he needs.
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
where's the risk? Where's the risk reward?
What did you think about the Trevor Bauer for commissioner T-shirt that he was wearing earlier this week, and with his campaign?
Let me tell you something.
So, like, fill in the details here.
Well, first of all, let me tell you. So, everybody wants to be like, I was first on the whatever train, okay? But we love Trevor Bauer. Before anybody else did. Sorry, just got a text from somebody. I love Trevor Bauer. That being said, up until today, I hadn't delved into his YouTube channel all that much. I follow him on Twitter, and so I'll see him, you know, tweet a video. And over the off season, he tweeted some videos of some interviews he did with players. I think I watched a couple. But today, I worked from home we use the word work pretty loosely today. It was raining. It was like 63 degrees. You know, I'm in the mountains. We had a hurricane come through. So, like, light rain, optimal, like, pajama couch, you know, do nothing weather, just in my personal opinion. And I watched like 15 Trevor Bauer videos on his YouTube channel. And let me tell you, the video from 2 months ago with him and Derek Dietrich doing going head to head in the desert was the best content, better than any baseball game I've seen this year. Honest to God. I love Trevor Bauer. And a couple days ago he did a day in the life of a player. What I'm going to say.
Reverse that.
Sorry, a day in the life of a player going through COVID. Amazing. I love Trevor Bauer, and I love how he has kind of embraced this kind of badass persona a little bit with the Trevor Bauer for commissioner T-shirts that he wears. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think he's awesome. I think he's amazing, and I'm glad that he's around. And there needs to be more Trevor Bowers, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
He can be a pain in the butt too, but like I do like his shtick. So this is the thing about Bauer, is a lot of his stuff now is very PR intended. Like, he's very intentional about building his brand. So I don't ever know how much is real. That's the only thing about Bauer, you know, is
I think that the video content that I've watched, I get what you're saying. I think that most of it's very real. I think he's pretty genuine. I really do. The only times I see him publicly maybe placate to that persona a little bit is when he dunks on like Kirk Schilling or something, right? And he gets a little bit, I guess you could say, a little annoying about it, even though I'm kind of on his side in those moments, sort of. But, you know, I've seen him kind of do that a little bit. And yeah, he's kind of pandering a little bit to his fans, perhaps. But I think he's the real deal. I think for the most part, he's a genuine guy. Seems pretty cool. I love the off-season moment when he was on ESPN, I think it was, and they had him on a Zoom call or something, and they accidentally had his phone number, like, on the screen.
Oh, God.
And he tweeted about it. He's like, thanks, ESPN. Now that you guys have my phone number, he's like, text me an ideas or something. And he had some contest people would text him. Or maybe it was just questions. Yeah. Text me and I'll answer questions. And he said he had, like, thousands of text messages. And he had to, like, you know, turn his phone off or something.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Did JT die? Is he okay?
I think he did. And so we're going to wrap up this episode of the Knock 'Em Nation Podcast Show. Thanks for listening. JT will be back with us tomorrow, hopefully, assuming his internet didn't totally go away. And we'll talk to you then. Josh, it's been fun, buddy. I always like talking to
you. It's been a great time. Yeah.
I love you, buddy.
Love you too.
Everybody, we love you guys out there. Stay safe in the tropical storm. Don't get too wet.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knockahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @NockahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.